every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAPAGALASLASLAACMA.
You said that.
Did I?
CRRRMA.
FNA.
Or any of the Anons.
Yeah, we don't speak for any of those guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Clearly.
As you're soon to find out. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Oh, Shelly.
Oh, Shelly.
Shelly's...
And Mark the Solution.
Oh,
Mark
Shelly.
The Solution. The Solution is going to be a half brick and a sock over your head.
Hold on, hold on.
The Solution.
Hold on, oh, Shelly.
You're just going to keep singing in the background, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
Maybe through the whole show.
There we go. Can you imagine? Oh, my God.
That's what we were thinking,
yes,
too.
Yes, I can,
and
actually.
Steve Perry.
That's what we were thinking, too.
Steve Perry.
Yeah, you know what? Time. You're not over being sick enough to hit Steve Perry notes.
No. I don't know hit those anymore.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Do you know someone who has a problem with drugs or alcohol? You know you want to intervene, but what can you do? Your loved one, friend, or colleague is spiraling out of control. You can help. Call Diversified Intervention Group. You do not have to deal with this problem alone. Call the intervention specialist at 909-559-9568. Diversified Intervention Group specializes in drug and alcohol intervention. We can help break the cycle of addiction. There is hope for recovery. The Diversified Intervention Group is your solution. Call 909-559-9568. Call now before it is too late. We provide services throughout North America. The Diversified Intervention Group. One phone call can make the difference.
Diversified Intervention Group is not a medical provider, nor do we provide medical services. If you feel that you are suffering a life-threatening situation, then immediately call 911 or contact your health care provider. Our drug and alcohol intervention service does not intend to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.
Welcome
Sweet.
Back.
Awesome.
Yeah. What should we do now?
I don't know. We could just sit and fart around.
I think it's time for the news. Whoop. Wow.
Maybe it's not, actually.
Reload.
I think it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Fortunately, I screwed that up so badly that we saved it
with
the incredible, awesome sound effects. Let me tell you, that we spent a lot of money on that system.
You know what, though? Shelly can't fully appreciate the awesomeness of our sound effects because she wasn't here when we had guest sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
No, I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
Train wreck.
Yeah. Greg helped.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
A few too many doo-doots
yeah.
or not enough doo-doots.
Yeah. Oh, no, I did hear
or
that.
Or doo-doots yeah. at the wrong time.
He plugged doo-doots in when we went to do a commercial break.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
All right. A New Zealand television host has resigned after starting a diplomatic issue when he made fun of Sheila, and I'm going to pronounce this the correct way, Dixit.
I saw that.
Who is the chief minister of the Indian capital of New Delhi.
But that's not what he thought it was because
that's
the spelling.
That's not what he thought it was because the spelling is actually, well, it's D-I-K-S-H-I-T.
Dixit.
I wasn't going to say it.
Well, that's the guy said it like
about 12
times.
Yeah. The H is silent.
And then made fun of it.
Oh.
On the air.
He was
and laughed
rolling.
Hysterically.
He was rolling. He must have.
But it caused a diplomatic incident between New Zealand and India.
Oh, he said it so many times. And he's like on like the Good Morning New Zealand show or
not
something.
Not anymore.
Like,
he got fired.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh.
He resigned. I just said
yeah,
he resigned.
It was
but
awesome.
Resigned under duress, I'm sure.
Like the German talk show host where he's interviewing the guy. You have
no,
to look
French.
I don't know. If you look up hilarious interview where the host, this guy answers the question, and his voice is so unusually high and everything. He's trying to be serious, and he's asking this guy a question. The guy's like, and the guy starts cracking up, the interviewer, and he cannot stop cracking up. And the guy's like, this is horrible. I should be listening to you. And the guy is just rolling. I don't know. You have to hear it. You guys are like,
you gotta
hey, whatever.
There.
Look
okay.
That up on YouTube. Hilarious interview. Host can't stop laughing.
Okay, now we have five epic events in history caused by a drunk.
Sweet.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Number one, Nikita Khrushchev avoids war with Yugoslavia.
He forgot to push the button.
Too drunk to.
The night
to
before,
pull the trigger, what?
No, the night before he was supposed to have a summit leader Tito.
Yeah.
And the night before, Khrushchev hosted just a little like wine and cheese.
Yeah. Vodka and.
Vodka, yeah.
Vodka
got
and nothing.
Got so
else.
Hammered that he slobbered all over Tito and, you know, why are you so upset? We should make peace. We should be friends, blah, blah, blah. So the next morning, he was kind of cornered into signing a peace treaty with Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia, at the time, the only nation to manage to break out of the Iron Curtain, the Soviet bloc.
Wow.
Because Nikita Khrushchev got drunk.
Wow.
Forgot to
like
push
Craig
the button.
Ferguson's story of, you know, yeah. He forgot to kill himself because he was too drunk. It's like, I forgot to declare war on you because we got too hammered.
Yeah.
We got too chummy.
Number two. On no fewer than three separate occasions, NASA has cleared astronauts to fly the space shuttle completely hammered. And they still made it back.
Zero gravity, though. It's okay. You don't fall as easy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and if you can zero gravity, it just blobs around, little blobs floating
That's
around.
That's disgusting.
Thanks.
Okay, so they're saying that astronauts actually flew drunk?
Yes.
I've never heard of that. You would think that would be huge news.
The shuttle pretty much flies itself.
Well, yeah, when it's going up.
I've never heard that. Wow.
I never heard that today.
Today. That's a Snopes lookup right there.
Yeah, I'm questioning that one.
Go ahead and look that one up. I found the story.
On NASA?
Wall Street Journal.
No, I'm trying to remember. And nuts, and I already deleted the bookmark.
FARC?
Associated
no,
Depressed.
It wasn't FARC. It was through, I was linking through news stories on Yahoo, and I came across
the
this
Weekly
page.
Weekly World News?
TheStar.com.
Yeah.
Well, we'll look that one
third,
up.
Boy found
third,
in cave.
Third.
The third, third. Story. Iron Butterfly creates one of the most memorable songs in rock and roll history.
Inagata DeVita.
It was originally
Baby.
In the garden. It was originally in the garden. The singer was so hammered he couldn't pronounce the words.
In the Garden of Eden. Yeah, that would make sense.
Inagata DeVita. And they decided to leave it that way.
Sweet.
Okay.
Otherwise, it might have just been a song that
would
passed
have been a religious
through.
Song.
Yeah, it would have been probably not a big hit, but because of that, it was a big hit.
Huh. That makes sense.
Number four. Selim II conquers the Ottoman Empire.
Sulim?
Selim, S-E-L-I-M.
Oh.
Selim?
Not Suleiman. Selim.
Oh, I was thinking it was Suleiman, yeah.
Selim II.
Okay.
Conquers the Ottoman Empire.
And five?
Now, Selim was also known as the drunkard, and the official doctrine... The military doctrine at the time read, keep Selim drunk.
So the thing was, his thing was like, I need more booze, get it from that town.
What they did was, his favorite wine was Cyprus wine, and he wanted to ensure his supply, so he invaded the Ottoman Empire and actually won. Just so he could get his wine.
Wow.
There are worse reasons that we've gone to war.
Yeah, there
went to war over wine.
You whiner.
It was the oil of the 17th century.
Yes.
And number five, the biggest five. One, is the Civil War. The U.S. Civil War.
Oh, come on.
Before, it was Ulysses S. Grant was known as a big boozer.
Oh, Grant was Grant was a big-time drinker.
Yeah. Before,
alcoholic president.
Before Lincoln found him, battles between the North and South were like sometimes months apart, and generally speaking, the North lost. So Lincoln hired Grant to take over, figuring that he had a reputation as when he got drunk, he was reckless and would go to extremes.
We needed some action.
We needed some action. So he hired him, and he spent the entire Civil War pretty much just drunk and directing battles. But outlandish when he was drunk.
And successful.
And yeah. It worked. I mean, he just kept pushing him, pushing him, pushing it, and it worked.
Yeah. That's why.
Wow.
That's why when they said something to Lincoln about Grant being drunk, he said, send my general a case of whatever he's drinking.
Yeah, give me a minute. Well, it reminded me of there's a famous thing in the Revolutionary War where they're trying to take some hill. And Washington is watching this from afar. And they used to have a thing with a guy that would carry the flag. And what would happen is wherever the flag went is where you were supposed to go. And this one guy just said, there's all these German mercenaries up on the hill. He says, they're getting the crap beat out of them. And this guy goes, I'm just going to run up the hill with the flag. And what it did is it made everyone else run up the hill with the flag too. And George Washington turned this guy into like a general. He's like, that guy rocks. And he was like some nobody guy, became very successful after that.
Oh, you video on that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's a...
Then how do you know about it?
A RevoTube.
How do you know about it if there's no YouTube video?
Yeah, I watch the military channel.
Okay.
Okay, a 5.1 magnitude earthquake strikes Oklahoma, to which California says, sleep it off.
I was going to say, yeah.
Who noticed?
Dude, yeah. That's like a diesel driving by.
To us, but apparently Oklahomans were wandering outside their homes with cameras wondering what to do.
Yeah. In Norman, it's a little bit of a story.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to tell you, as a California resident, there's nothing got quite as good a rush as an earthquake.
As a 6.4.
It's like, if other people want to know what the rush is like, it's like the first drop on a really good roller coaster. I mean, when it starts and everything's shaking, your house is shaking, the ground is shaking, everything, it's pretty good.
But you know what?
Not as good as slamming.
But you know what? It's not
really
like a roller coaster because you hit the first drop, you can see where it's going to end. You're not really sure where the earthquake's going to end.
True.
I hate them.
As long as my walls don't start cracking, I'm okay.
You know what? It's a choice between earthquakes or your livestock freezing outside in the middle of the day. I'll take earthquakes.
Oh, yeah. Like people live in like Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
Hey, I've seen that show, whatever, Storm Chasers. Yeah. People that live in that section of the country, I don't get it. Because they go, but you live in earthquake zone. Yeah, and I've been through a zillion earthquakes. I've never even had damage at my house. But, man, tornadoes? I'm going to rebuild here in Tornado Alley.
Now that you've just said that, the 8.1 will happen tomorrow and we will lose the house.
You got a case
Thank
of water.
Thank you so much.
You got a case of water. You're okay.
You know what? Our house is not going to fall no matter what.
Yeah, now that
we're
you said that.
Bedrock.
Now that you said that, thank you so much.
We're just like Fred and Barney.
Oh, brother. Sir Ra Diggs, has been indicted on federal drug charges.
I like the pasty white girl trying to name the rapper.
Ra Diggs. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
It's Ra Diggs.
So I'm white, so sue me.
Ra Diggs.
His own tweets were used against him in the indictment.
Oops.
Don't put it in writing.
Yeah, that's another one of the stupid internet criminal of the week.
The Tiger Woods rule number 4.
Yeah. I learned all about that working in a corporation. You know what? If you don't want it to come up later,
don't
email
write
it
down.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid.
Those things never disappear.
Yeah. Apparently he was dealing out of the Gowanus housing project in Brooklyn.
Oh, he must be a really high-end rapper to be dealing out of the projects. You know. you'd think he'd be dealing, I don't know, out of the whatever, out of the Webb Hotel or something.
You do your best business on Main Street.
Yeah, apparently.
Carolina cut wide receiver Dwayne Jarrett after he just got his second DUI.
Oops.
I don't think he's gone to court on the first one yet.
Really?
It didn't specify in the story.
Well,
USC boy.
If you got him in your fantasy football league, you're in trouble.
Nobody has him in their fantasy football league. He's a drunk.
Yeah, there you go.
A Missouri woman called 911 on her boyfriend because she was fed up with him smoking pot all day and not looking for a job. Cops found marijuana in the man's car.
Wait, I think we know him.
Yeah.
Or somebody like him.
She doesn't get any charges for calling 911 on that?
It didn't say that in the story.
She should.
Why? It's an emergency.
I doubt that.
He's doing drugs. They're illegal. You're calling in something illegal.
I don't know, man.
Yay.
I don't know.
If you don't like it, legalize them.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. That's a tough one, though.
I don't know that it's so tough. In Woodland, California, a man has been arrested after he ran over his one-year-old son while drunk.
That's a 911 call.
Was the son drunk or the father?
The one-year-old, the father was drunk.
Okay. That's bad.
The boy's condition is grave.
That's a 911 call. Yeah. But see, they couldn't get there fast enough because they were over trying to bust the guy who's smoking weed instead of looking for a job.
Well, no, this was California and the other one was Missouri, so they're
different
states.
Yeah, it's a long track.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
One's a 911 call and one's like...
They're all a 911 call.
I don't know.
And here's a Florida story in Bradenton, Florida.
Perfect.
Raymond Stanley Roberts.
Forgot to move his...
The third.
Forgot to get his chat.
Raymond Stanley Roberts, the third.
No, he got pulled over. I don't remember why. In the story, I don't think it was very specific.
Because he hadn't removed all his chads.
They smelled marijuana, so decided to search his car. Probable cause. They searched him and found that he had a baggie of marijuana and 27 pieces of rock cocaine in his buttocks. And he claims the coke is not his.
Well, of course not.
It was put there by a stranger.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on my moneymaker.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, sweet. Wow.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to know how you can claim it's not yours when it's between your butt cheeks.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, because I keep pretty close track of what goes on around there.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is if it was between his butt cheeks, how deep did the cop have to dig to find it? Ew.
I'm thinking it was between his butt cheeks, and I'm thinking it maybe wasn't up his butt.
Yes, that's correct.
But still. But it's not mine.
Yikes.
Reminds me of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Where are your hands? They're between two soft pillows. Those aren't pillows. Lousy news in the news, not fit for booze.
I was late.
Oh, well. So.
Bruce, what should we talk about tonight?
Shelley wants to legalize weed.
Yeah, I do.
In California. It's coming up for a vote.
It's a gateway drug, you know.
Proposition, and it is, too.
So is booze.
Proposition 19.
Booze is legal.
Right, Shelley?
Yes, sir. I've got it right in front of me. 19. I have the voter pamphlet right in front of me.
Now, does it give like a synopsis of what the overall thing is? Can you give that to us real quick?
Yes, I will. It legalizes marijuana under California but not federal law, permits local governments to regulate and tax commercial production, distribution, and sale of marijuana. Allows people 21 years and older to possess, cultivate, or transport marijuana for personal use. It permits local governments to regulate and tax commercial production, distribution, and sale of marijuana to people 21 years of age and older. Marijuana school grounds, using in public or smoking it while minors are present. Maintains prohibitions against driving while impaired, and limits employers' ability to address marijuana use to situations where job performance is actually impaired.
So in other words, similar to alcohol.
Exactly.
Although I wonder what they determine is the legal limit. Remember that? Remember that story? We found a story once that you might actually drive better when you're stoned.
I always thought I did.
Well, they actually, you know, it's one of those. It's a study. Mm-hmm. They said they weren't sure, you know, because your reaction time is slower, but you also tend to drive a lot slower. So it didn't seem to matter.
Actually, in the pamphlet, I don't see anywhere that it says what the, quote, legal limit would be or how they would measure that.
So, Shelley.
Yes.
Why do you think they should legalize it?
Money, money, money. Show me the money.
Then they should legalize cocaine. All drugs.
I kind of draw the line with the whole pot and marijuana thing.
Why?
Because it's extremely rare that someone on pot goes out and commits mass mayhem or kills people or what. They're too stoned.
We have talked about the kind of lame sounding I was out there using stories from the weed smokers who say, I smoked 20 hits and I watched 11 reruns of Gilligan's Island and ate a box of Chips Ahoy.
Yeah, they're
I must say, when I was a stoner,
but if it's about money,
far less.
If it's about money, you should legalize all of it.
I think that you have to weigh the advantages and the disadvantages, and the advantages in this case, to me, the return on investment is greater. We need the money.
See, I wouldn't go from
that. They're
going to
be smoking it anyway.
I wouldn't go from that. See, for me, I wouldn't go from that aspect. Probably be in tune with allowing it to be legalized, but not because of the money.
Because
I think if alcohol's legal, alcohol does far more damage than any other drug as far as societally speaking. It costs the government and it costs business more money than any other drug.
What percentage of people do you think drink for reasons other than to get drunk?
A lot.
Most of them.
How many people smoke marijuana for reasons other than to get stoned?
Oh, well,
none
of them.
So it'd be the same thing as if everyone drank to get drunk.
Well, that's if you're assuming everyone's drinking to get drunk, because there's various levels of being stoned as well. There's a difference between getting high and the way that my Olympic achievement buddies used to smoke. Because, my brother and his friends used to get high. They'd smoke a joint with like six people and they'd get high. Because they weren't really getting, completely smashed like the way my buddies and I would. I mean, we'd smoke a zillion bong hits and that would be the way that, we would get loaded. We would get loaded like we're trying to get really ripped.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you say the difference between people that are drinking to get drunk and people that are drinking to socially drink, you got to admit there's people that smoke weed to get high and aren't looking to get completely wiped out.
So what's the test they're going to use to decide
how high
you are when you're driving?
Well, that's what I said. What do you determine? What is the determining factor going to be? Because even with alcohol, that's changed many times over the years. And I don't know, it only recently became federal, right? I mean, at one time, there was different laws in different states, right? Took a different amount to be be loaded in different states. And I don't know what that determining factor would be. I see what Mark was saying, though, about, everyone that's getting stoned is getting stoned to get stoned. But everybody that's drinking, you could say the wine connoisseurs are drinking for, I don't know if there's... It seems like there's weed connoisseurs. Yeah. These guys are going to have 27 different kinds of tastes.
Now, the 15 to 20 crowd that's buying marijuana, they're still going to buy it the same place they're buying it now. You're not going to get the tax dollars. And what happens if you're 21 and you're smoking weed and there's a 20-year-old in the room or a 17-year-old in the room that you don't know they're 17 or 20? Do you need to card everybody in the room before you would... spark one?
It doesn't say, it says minors.
Well, a 17-year-old would be a minor.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you'd have to be careful.
That's an interesting thing because to me, you can drink around minors as long as you're not giving it to them. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, but there's no such
thing
as secondhand booze.
Oh,
this is
a contact high thing?
Because I'm stealing it.
I would imagine.
Because I'm stealing it. Hey, listen, I had secondhand booze lots of times at my mom's party.
And then if you come into somebody's house and you smell marijuana and they're of age and there are minors in the house, did they break any laws? Because maybe the minors weren't there while they were smoking it, but they came in afterwards. How can you prove it?
Well, then by your standards, we should unlegalize alcohol.
We probably should.
We already tried that, and it was really a bad experiment.
We didn't do it right.
A lot of people died.
We didn't do it right.
And how should we have done it?
The thing is, if you're going to start legalizing drugs because of the revenue aspect, then legalize all of them.
That's if it's only a revenue aspect, though. I mean, there would be many, many people that claim that weed has many good properties, just the way people would claim, you know what, wine's good because
properties to meth or crack, though.
Are good properties to cocaine.
But, you know, like with cocaine, it'd be like buying scotch. You'd have your blended, you'd have your 12-year-old, your 18-year-old, you'd have better qualities that you could purchase.
Well, you'd have that with weed, too,
for sure. Oh, yeah.
But, like, I mean, there are good... Well, you know what? But, see, cocaine is legal in certain respects.
Hey, great qualities for meth. I get a lot more out of my workforce. They're not so tired after 6 hours.
In the medical industry, I mean, lidocaine, procaine, novocaine, they're all cocaine derivatives. And they're all legal in that industry. Yeah.
And now you're in the public service industry, and you're an employer... And there's an accident that happens and a guest gets injured. And you test employees, and an employee who was working around the issue tests positive for marijuana.
Isn't that specifically listed in there?
Are you sued as the employer?
Well, because you could have smoked the pot a month previously.
He could have.
Would you be sued if it was alcohol related?
Yes.
You'd be sued if it was weed related.
If you can be sued if it's weed related, but yet you can't not hire that person and you can't fire them because they tested positive in a random test.
Well, the problem with weed, too, is testing. Weed hangs out in your system for 30 days.
The big difference between that and alcohol.
You know what? That's actually a big, you know, and I don't know exactly how testing works specifically, if you can check the potency, but, you know. You can be caught 30 days later, so if they pull you over and test you.
Yeah. Well, with California's litigious society that we are, how can you do this without putting every employer at the mercy of the fact they can't randomly test somebody unless they're in a direct job where if you were under the influence of marijuana, it'd be a safety aspect, but yet if they're found that to have marijuana in their system and somebody got injured, you have opened yourself up to a lawsuit. Will California then have to change its entire legal standing as far as who's at fault for things?
Well, and then there is the other part, which we were discussing. There is the money part.
Yeah.
There is a tremendous amount of money that gets spent on prosecuting what would then, you know, it's just like in the 20s when you had prohibition. They spent tons of money prosecuting people for alcohol that when they repealed prohibition, suddenly they didn't have to spend anymore. But that goes to the straight money part. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of money available. I think I did a term paper on it once when I was a stoner because I really wanted it to be legalized. And at a buck an ounce, it was zillions of dollars. And at a sales tax of 10%, it's a ton of money.
But do you really think that people are going to pay more to buy it legally when you can't tell what was legal and what was illegal once they have it?
Oh, I think that people would pay 10%.
No, I don't. Why would they? They don't have to.
Because you're paying 30% more than you were 5 years ago on the same weed. I mean, it's like the thing is, you could smoke it legally.
You can smoke the illegal stuff legally. Once you have it, who's going to know where you got it?
That's true. But I'll tell you what, I think the cigarette companies would be on it like stink on you know what. I think Marlboro's already got their green packs ready to go. All they're doing is replacing tobacco with weed.
Yeah, but...
I'll bet they got advertising campaigns already set up.
Once again, your 18 to 21-year-olds.
I don't see where it's any different than alcohol, though. I mean, I mean, if you say yeah, I would not keep alcohol legal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because then it would make sense, because if we have all of those same problems now with alcohol, and I'm not saying whether we should do it or not. I'm just playing devil's advocate,
right,
because it's you know, the arguments that we're using for weed, a lot of them are the same types of arguments you would have for alcohol.
Yeah. I think there's way too many arguments. There's way too much confusion over how you're going to enforce any laws around it.
My guess is they're not ready to enforce them,
you know,
at all.
They're very clear right now. If somebody gets injured on the job and they go to urgent care, the first thing we do is drug test them. If they come back positive, they've got no claim.
Same with alcohol. If they go and they test positive because they're drunk, they got
no claim.
Well,
that's because alcohol would clear the system in 24 hours.
Yeah, but if you're saying taking them to urgent care,
yeah,
I'm assuming you're taking them there right away.
Yeah.
And if you're taking them there right away and they're drunk, they don't have a claim.
Well,
either.
Absolutely. But they could have smoked marijuana 6 days ago, and it's still going to show up in their system.
That's true.
So they went to a party on Friday. Next Wednesday, they get hurt on the job. You test them, they come back positive.
And like I said, I don't know if there's, because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm coming from the perspective of I don't know. Yeah. I don't know when they test for marijuana, if there is a test that tells, you know, gives an idea of when it was done. Because,
yeah,
you know, if you're smoking weed every single day, it would seem like that you would test for high levels. Whereas if you smoked it a week ago, it would be a lower level. I don't know. Just like with alcohol, when you test and it's been a certain amount of time, the amount of alcohol in your system goes down. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know how that works.
I haven't seen that there's a test that gives you that degree, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it does. Yeah. I don't know.
It doesn't say anything about that in the proposition.
Well, you know what? And I think maybe where Mark is going with some of this is I could see the amount of money being made off taxing, mm-hmm, being eaten up rather quickly...
With our legislature?
By the amount of rewriting all the laws.
With our legislature? We
and
think they're going to
the
pay down the
that
debt?
Are just getting out of prison, who they're going to have to release because they just, well, you'd be grandfathered probably, but you just got busted for something that's now legal. I wonder how many guys would want to go back to court.
Well.
What do you think, Shelly? You've been, Mark and I have been hogging up all the air. You've heard a bunch of stuff. What do you think?
I still think at this point that it's just better to legalize it than to not.
Well, they've already decriminalized it.
And yet people still go to jail for it.
No, they decriminalized it over the last few weeks. In the last 30 days, they've signed the bill decriminalizing it.
I know,
it,
making
it
an infraction instead.
It's an infraction.
Yeah, but it's been a fine for a long time.
But... it's no longer a criminal act. It no longer goes on your record
as... it's a misdemeanor.
It's not even that. It's not even a misdemeanor.
No, it's not even a misdemeanor anymore.
It's not even that anymore.
I was going to say, it's been a misdemeanor for years,
yeah, no,
and that doesn't go on your
record. It's a parking ticket now.
Yeah, now it's they downgraded it to an infraction.
Sweet. I'm going to get some weed after the show.
So what more? What more do they need to do?
Well, you know what? It's when I went to go see Yas in the hospital, my buddy Yas. Mm-hmm. I go to I'm walking to a Starbucks, and there's a weed store. Weed, and on the window of the weed store, literally, you could have anything and get weed prescribed to you. I mean, PMS, depression, excitability, lack of appetite, headache. I mean, there was everything. And there was a cop standing there. And I asked the cop, "Is there anything you can't get prescribed weed for?" And the guy looks at the window and he goes, "Not according to this window."
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like the Ron White routine. Yeah, I get bummed when I run out of dope. You know.
So, Shelly, what would your final thoughts be?
I'm probably going to vote yes.
Shelly,
but now that I've been listening to you,
drug society.
But now that I'm listening,
she's
to
a pure alcoholic.
Now that I'm listening to the two of you, I'm going to have to think about it some more.
Here's my other question, though. You're from California. You have a California driver's license. You have your marijuana. It's completely legal. And you go to Phoenix for the weekend.
Nope. It says it right in the thing. You can't transport it across state lines. That's against California law. So you can't take it to Phoenix.
I'll tell you what, too. Let me tell you. Arizona?
Yeah, Sheriff Joe.
Arizona?
Yeah.
You don't even want to get caught with a seed in Arizona because you're going to go to jail.
You're going to have a tent.
Yeah, it's not... Yeah, the one thing that would probably be advantageous at some point would be to get all the states on a similar level.
Yeah, which is it's illegal.
I mean, it's like what they did with alcohol.
They're on a similar level now.
You used to be able to drink at 18 in Hawaii.
And Illinois.
It's just like having those daytime driver's licenses when you're like 14 or 13 or something in farm states. So they can drive 12,000-pound farm equipment down the highway.
You could drink in Illinois at 18, but if you make a right-hand turn on a red light, it's a ticket.
There you go. Well, that was a recovery-less edition.
That's right.
Outstanding. Shelley?
Yes.
Recovery 101 on the law.
Is anybody out there still sober online?
I'm hoping.
After this show? They're all smoking weed?
Oh, are you talking about intherooms.com?
Yeah.
Which is an online recovery community. You can go and put up your profile.
Out of Florida.
Meet people in the A of your choice. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and listen to our embedded player while you surf the site, and it's all free.
You know what's really funny?
What?
In the rooms, I would put a California ad for marijuana sales on the website if they legalized it.
If they let,
because what a great place to get customers.
Oh wow!
Aw, jeez.
Well, it's about the money, you said.
Well, not people that are trying to stay sober.
No, it doesn't matter. It's about the money.
You know what? If I'm on Facebook and all my stuff on Facebook's about recovery,
mm-hmm.
You know what?
I'd run an ad.
I'd see ads for Schlitz malt liquor. I've seen ads for wine.
Yep.
I'm an alcoholic because I have alcohol listed on my page.
As we said earlier in the show, you do your best business on Main Street.
There you go. Mark.
Yes.
Friends back east.
Bruce, the other white meat, 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication. Plenty of articles and ads and jokes. And if you go back last month, you can still read the article about Shelley and myself and the other
Mark.
Guy.
There's a 12-Step Music Fest at 12stepmusicfest.com. Go see Artie Kornfeld, the creator of Woodstock's going to be there. Mark Lundholm, the addiction comedy specialist, is going to be there. Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night is going to be there.
And a host of others. We should go host the show.
Put on by No Matter What Productions. We've got email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail, recovery101radio@gmail, and recovery101radio@hotmail.com.
Send
us some topics. We'd like some topics.
Yeah, send some topics unless you want to keep listening to the garbage we pick.
Yeah. Video, Shelly?
YouTube.com/easylook and YouTube.com/recovery101rule62.
Sweet. Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
Did you already do email addresses?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't listening.
No, thanks. Either is anyone else, so it doesn't really matter.
I don't know.
Deer in the Headlights.
I've gone completely
never heard
blank.
Of them.
Deer in the Headlights. It's a new band.
That would be a good name for a band.
Deer in the Headlights?
Yeah.
Okay, have you thought of one
know,
now?
Pick one.
Now that you've stalled?
System of a Down. Sweet. Everyone, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
I should have played some stoner music.
You just cannot shut up, can you?
Wake up! Wake up! Grab brush and put a little makeup! Have the sensibility when they shake up! Why'd you leave the kids up on the table? If you don't create another table, you wanted to! Grab brush and put a little makeup! You wanted to! Have the sensibility when they shake up! You wanted to! Why'd you leave the kids up on the table? You wanted to! Why don't think you trust in... Self-righteous suicide.